Welcome to today's reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for Thursday, May 20th. I'm your reader, Lori Blatchford, and here's our first story. 2021 Legislative Session, A Tale of Two Parties. This is by James Lynch of the Gazette, Des Moines Bureau. Dateline, Des Moines. The 2021 session was a tale of two parties. For majority Republicans, it was the best of times. For minority Democrats, it was the worst of times. Most importantly, according to Republican Governor Kim Reynolds, it's such a big year for Iowans. The governor expected to run for re-election, next year, has reason to be pleased. Lawmakers approved many of her quote-unquote foundational priorities, including tax relief, expanding access to child care, more resources for workforce housing, and training, and extending broadband connectivity to unserved and underserved areas. Quote, what a huge win, she told reporters after signing House File 813, her proposal to increase opportunities for charter schools. What was expected to be the final day of the session opened with a prayer for heavenly assistance to, quote, keep this train on the tracks as it speeds to adjournment, end quote. It was no bullet train, as legislators worked 19 days past their scheduled adjournment. Both chambers were on the floor intermittently during the day as they worked to adjourning the session Wednesday evening. And they likely will be back, perhaps in August, to deal with a once-in-a-decade redistricting process. For Republicans who control the House 59-41 and the Senate 32-18, the overtime days were well spent as they hammered out a compromise on the wide-ranging bill they say will deliver $400 million in tax relief, even as they fund an $8.118 billion general fund budget, representing a $318 million increase from the current year. Quote, we get that generalizational tax bill down. That's really good day for Iowa. It's really good day for our legislature to show that we can work together, said Senator Majority Leader Jack Whitaker, a Republican from Ankeny, who told Radio Iowa, referring to Senate File 619 that drew bipartisan support in both chambers. He credited Reynolds' leadership for getting cautious House Republicans to get behind the plan. Quote, it's about bringing people together, Reynolds told reporters. That didn't include Democrats, who said that although they represent 1.3 million Iowa voters, they were frozen out of negotiations on SF 619 and many of legislators' shared priorities. For Democrats, it was another session of missed opportunities, such as a lack of legislative action to help the state recover from the health, educational, and economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Democratic minority leaders, Senator Zach Walls of Coralville and Representative Todd Pritchard of Charles City, repeatedly hammered Republicans for having no interest in addressing COVID-19 in their budget or in policymaking. Pritchard described Reynolds' actions as, quote, heartless. Whitaker, however, pointed to the, quote, billions of dollars that have been pumped into our economy from the federal government, end quote. Republicans targeted, quote, certain areas that we think need investment from a state perspective, end quote. The crowning achievement for Republicans was SF 619 that includes eliminating the 2018 state income tax triggers, compressing brackets and reducing rates, having the state take over mental health funding from property tax payers while phasing out the, quote, backfill, end quote, aid to local governments, phasing out the state's inheritance tax, exempting taxation on COVID-19 assistance, and incorporating various issues dealing with housing, energy infrastructure, child care tax credits, telehealth parity, and more. Democrats supported many of the provisions, but warned that the $100 million property tax relief Republicans projected from the state takeover of mental health finding would be more than offset by a $153 million property tax increase to make up for that loss of the quote-unquote backfill. That is funding legislators promised to replace commercial and industrial property tax revenue local governments lost as a result of bipartisan approved 2013 tax package. The backfill, which Republicans said amounted to less than 2% of local government budgets, will be phased out over the next 5 to 8 years. The fact Republicans were making a promise as they broke another should worry Iowans, especially property taxpayers and those who depend on mental health services, Democrats said. Democrats also hit the GOP for what Pritchard labeled a, quote, most unwelcoming agenda targeting transgender kids, the LGBTQ community, and people of color. Disrespecting their civil rights is not a way to attract and retain workforce Iowa businesses need, he said. Regardless of their majorities, it was not a clean sweep for Republicans, Whitfer said. State Republicans made some concessions. For example, a plan for more frequent verification of the income of Iowans on food stamps and Medicaid will have to wait until next year, he said. The photos on the front page of the Nonpareil today are very colorful. I won't want to describe them to you, and then I'll read you the caption. The title of with the photos is Showstoppers. We have pictures of young folks in long sleeve t-shirts, very colorful tie-dye swirl of red, white, and blue, and they all have white masks on. They are in one photo, they are standing with their all of their arms, right arms outreached, and looking all in the same direction. In another photo, we get a close-up of one of the students with her arm raised. And in another, we see over the students' shoulders, to a group, of masked, folks, adults who are, clapping, clapping, for their efforts. And the caption reads, and these are photos by Joe Shear, who's a staff photographer. And the caption reads above, below, and left, describing the three photo or about the three photos I just described. Members of the Kern Middle School 8th grade show choir perform a set for Council Bluffs Community School District staff members outside the Educational Service Center at the Omni Center Business Park on Wednesday. Below at right, Ashlyn McConnell performs during the lunchtime show. Hannah Nunkamp Engelman, the vocal music teacher at Kern, said the choir wasn't able to perform or compete in this year's, this school year due to COVID restrictions. So they put together a set list of songs summing up their feelings on the pandemic. The group sang We Are All in This Together from High School Musical, Into the Unknown and The Next Right Thing from Disney's Frozen 2, and Elton John's I'm Still Standing. More photos are available at nonpareilonline.com. Also on the front page, A Weekend for Grad Ceremonies by Tim Johnson of the Nonpareil. Graduation season continues this weekend with commencement ceremonies for Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and St. Albert High Schools. Abraham Lincoln High School's graduation ceremony will be at 7 p.m. Friday at the Mid-America Center. Abraham Lincoln seniors Molly Higgins, Trinity Garcia, and Cecilia Luai are scheduled to speak at the ceremony, according to Diane Ostrowski, Chief Communications Officer for the Council Bluffs Community School District. Thomas Jefferson High School's graduation will be 10 a.m. Saturday at the MAC, and Thomas Jefferson seniors Colton Cumberledge and Samantha Avalos Banderas will speak at the Thomas Jefferson ceremony. Council Bluffs Community School District's last day of school will be May 27th. St. Albert will hold its commencement ceremony at 2 p.m. on Sunday in the school gym. Speakers will include Donna Bishop, Superintendent of Schools for the Catholic Diocese of Des Moines, St. Albert President Ann Rowling, the Reverend Charles Cottas, Chairman of the School Board, and seniors Anna Shui, Grace Garrigan, Jeff Miller, and Jeff Miller, according to Kevin White, who's Director of Advancement at St. Albert. Sound Sations, the school's honor choir, will perform. St. Albert's last day of school will be May 28th. Lewis Central High School will hold its graduation ceremony at 1:30 p.m. on May 30th at the Mid-America Center. Lewis Central's last day of school will be June 8th. Scholarship opens door to AL students' future, also by Tim Johnson of the Nonpareil. Abraham Lincoln High School senior Rolando Martinez Rico has high hopes for the future. He has been awarded a Gates Scholarship, sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The scholarship will cover all costs of school attendance not covered by other financial aid or the expected family contribution, as determined by the free application for federal student aid, or the methodology used by the scholar's college or university, according to the scholarship's website. It can be applied toward tuition, fees, room, board, books, transportation, and some personal costs. Quote, "It's really an amazing scholarship that I would tell younger students to apply for," Rolando said. "I'm very grateful, and I'm glad to be a Gates Scholar because completing his education goals is probably an opportunity that I wouldn't have had without it," end quote. The scholarship is given each year to 300 outstanding minority students from low-income households to help them realize their maximum potential, according to the website. The student must be eligible for the Pell Grant and must be a U.S. citizen, national, or permanent resident. They must be in good academic standing with a minimum cumulative weighted GPA of 3.3 on a 4.0 scale or the equivalent. That's no problem for Rolando. He has a weighted GPA of 4.5 out of 4.0 and an unweighted GPA of 4.0 and ranks first in his class. He was recognized as a Governor's Scholar this spring. He took four college courses, medical imaging, pathology, anatomy, and pharmacology through the University of Nebraska Medical Center High School Alliance program and earned A's in all four. Quote, "Ever since I was young, I've always had an interest in science and medicine," he said. Rolando got to visit a cadaver lab where a master's student in anatomy helped him learn from it. Quote, "Having a chance to learn from the cadaver lab was quite fascinating," he said. Rolando also earned A's in 11 dual enrollment classes completed through Iowa Western Community College, took 6 advanced placement classes at Abraham Lincoln, and was named an AP Scholar with Distinction in 2020. He served on the Student Council, was a member of the National Honor Society, led the marching band as drum major, organized events as a member of the Key Club, and competed in robotics. He was a member of the Iowa All-State Band 3 years and the Southwest Iowa Honor Band for 4 years. He's also played in the University of Nebraska Lincoln Honor Band in 2019. Rolando has completed more than 350 hours of volunteer experience. He served as an interpreter for a Latino festival and Christmas festival. He helped with child and teen programs at the Council Bluffs Public Library, helped organize books on library shelves, and assisted in the office in the Teen Center. He completed Youth Leadership Council Bluffs during the 2019 and 20 school year. Rolando heard about the Gates Scholarship from his TAG teacher, talented and gifted teacher, he said. It took most of the school year to go through the application process. Quote, "The Gates Scholarship is a pretty renowned scholarship, and it's a pretty long process," he said. "The first phase is providing your school information, and the second is a more detailed look at your academic record." As a semifinalist, Rolando had to write 4 essays in response to different questions, he said. As a finalist, he had an interview via video conference that included more personal questions about his activities, values, skills, and goals for the future. Part of it was choosing an institution to attend. The student must plan to enroll full-time in a 4-year degree program at a U.S.-accredited, not-for-profit, private, or public college or university. It, quote, "It came down to 3 state universities, University of Iowa, University of California, Berkeley, and University of Nebraska at Omaha," Rolando said. "I had to do some internal reflection about what my intent was." UNO has an urban health opportunities program for students interested in going into the medical school or health field, Rolando said. Quote, "I found that was an amazing opportunity to already go to UNMC as a freshman in college. It was also an opportunity to stay in the community and help the minority community," Rolando said. He will first pursue a degree in molecular and biomedical biology, he said. That will hopefully position him to enter medical school at UNMC. The last article on the front page of the Nonpareil today is titled Grassley Questions Need for Insurrection Commission, and it's by Tom Barton of the Quad City Times. Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Charles Grassley on Wednesday questioned the need to create an independent bipartisan commission to investigate the deadly January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, following reports that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell will oppose such legislation. The bill would establish an independent 10-member commission that would make recommendations for securing the Capitol and preventing another insurrection. The panel would issue a final report by December 31st. Some Republicans have said they think an independent review is necessary. Others, including Grassley, suspect Democrats will likely drag out the panel's work into next year, heading into the 2022 midterms to keep focus on the dangerous fallout of Republican fealty to, or at least silence about, President Donald Trump's lie that he lost the 2020 election due to widespread fraud. Grassley, in a weekly conference call with Iowa reporters, said he suspects the panel, quote, is part of a scheme, end quote, by Democrats, quote, to distract from whether or not the Democratic Congress is getting its job done or the crises that this administration is not facing in a very good way, including an influx of unaccompanied minors and immigrants from Mexico and Central America attempting to cross U.S. southern border. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Wednesday he will hold a vote on the bill despite GOP objections, charging that Republicans are caving to Trump, who encouraged his supporters to head to Capitol Hill on January 6th to stop Congress certification of electoral votes and overturn his defeat to Democrat Joe Biden. The Biden administration said it supports the legislation and that the American people deserve, quote, a full and fair accounting to prevent future violence and strengthen the security and resilience of our democratic institutions, end quote. Trump released a statement Tuesday night urging Republicans against approving what he called a, quote, Democrat trap, end quote. Grassley said he has several conditions for whether he would support legislation creating the panel. Chief among them, Grassley said, is the commission should only be established if it can investigate other violent acts, including racial justice protests last summer following the killing of George Floyd by police. Quote, we've had rioting in this country. Some of it has been called peaceful protest over a long period of time, Grassley said. And sometimes even extremist groups have been involved in some of that. Portland, Oregon is just one example. At the very least, for me, it needs to broaden the scope of the investigations, end quote. Grassley noted he has sent oversight letters to the FBI and other agencies about their investigations into the January 6th riot. Quote, then you want to remember that there's also a couple committees in Congress investigating what's going on, which would raise some questions about whether or not this needs to be done, end he said. Grassley also joined McConnell in questioning whether the panel's work was necessary in light of the hundreds of criminal cases stemming from the January 6th attack, in which rioters brutally beat police, broke in through windows and doors, and hunted for lawmakers as they fled. Quote, law enforcement is doing a very good job of arresting 440 people, Grassley, maybe a few more than that, Grassley said, and there's a great deal of prosecution going on, end quote. The debate over the commission comes at a time when some Republicans have begun to downplay the severity of the January 6th attack, in which one congressman compared Capitol rioters to tourists. And it follows last week's ouster of House Republican of Representatives, Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming from her post as the chamber's number 3 GOP leader, for her repeated rebukes and criticisms of Trump's false claims of a stolen election and his role in inciting the January riot. Today, the face of today is Suzanne Caputo, who is a registered nurse in the Progressive Care Unit at Methodist Jenny Edmondson Hospital. She spent most of her adult life as a massage therapist on the West Coast, specializing in soft tissue injuries until a hand injury ended her career. Caputo came back to Council Bluffs to help take care of her mother, who was suffering from Alzheimer's, and at the age of 55 started on her new career of being a nurse. Caputo has been at Methodist Jenny Edmondson Hospital since 2018 and loves the collegiality among the staff. Quote, no 2 days look alike, and there is nothing regular about our day except that it will be busy. We are a floor that deals with patients who are seriously ill. As a department, we consider all the patients to be ours, and that means everyone answers all call lights, not just their own, and everyone works as a team. No one tells you they are too busy to help. They just stop what they're doing and come to help. And it's a reciprocated by each of us. We never learned to appreciate the smooth days and never utter the Q word, quiet, or the S word, slow, she said. Caputo loves working at a smaller hospital because it allows her to get to know her coworkers from all departments. Quote, we care about each other and we check on each other. That has been especially important this last year, she said. Caputo has two amazing children, Tony and Gina. When she's not at work, she likes getting together with friends, traveling, and visiting her children as often as possible. She also loves to cook, crochet, read, go for walks, spend time with her extended family. She has 27 nieces and nephews and 20 great nieces and nephews. Caputo's favorite quote is, if you realized how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. She works daily on replacing her negative thoughts. Quote, if you have a positive thought versus negative thought, abundance will surround you in every aspect of your life, she said. Please join the Jenny Edmondson Foundation in thanking its healthcare heroes. If you'd like to honor a healthcare worker at Methodist Jenny Edmondson Hospital, consider making a gift to the COVID Emergency Response Fund. To learn more about COVID Emergency Response Fund or make a donation, call 712-396-6040 or visit jehfoundation.org. And that face of today is sponsored by the Jenny Edmondson. One more item in news before we get to our mid-break. Iowa lawmakers pass abortion amendment. This is by Rod Boschert with the Gazette Des Moines Bureau, Dateline Des Moines. State House Republicans are halfway to bringing an abortion issue before Iowa voters. State Senate senators spent their 129th calendar day of this year's session debating House Joint Resolution 5, a measure which would put an amendment on the ballot as early as 2024 to allow Iowa voters to decide whether the Iowa Constitution provides a right to abortion. The resolution approved by the Iowa Senate on a 30-18 party line vote must be approved in exactly the same form by both chambers in the 2023 and 24 General Assembly before it can be placed on the ballot. The Iowa House approved the resolution 54-38 Tuesday night with two Republicans voting against it. The amendment reads, quote, to defend the dignity of all human life and protect unborn children from efforts to expand abortion even to the point of birth, we, the people of the state of Iowa, declare that this Constitution does not recognize, grant, or secure a right to abortion or require public funding of abortion, end quote. Senate President Jake Chapman, Republican of Adel, said the amendment is needed to correct a, quote, feckless, fabricated, and negligent, end quote, Iowa Supreme Court decision in 2018 that found the Iowa Constitution provided a right to an abortion. In the 5-2 decision, the court ruled women have a fundamental right to an abortion and threw out Iowa's 72-hour waiting period requirement lawmakers had approved. The law, the majority of justices held, violated both the due process and equal protection clauses of the Iowa Constitution, quote, because its restrictions on women are not narrowly tailored to serve a compelling interest of the state, end quote. Anti-abortion legislators called the decision, quote, judicial overreach, end quote. Chapman said, this amendment will allow people, not unelected judges and not us, to decide the issue of who is going to make the laws regarding abortion. During a nearly hour-long impassioned debate, Democrats called out GOP inconsistencies on constitutional privacy rights as they relate to abortion and COVID vaccine and vaccination and masks, and argued against adopting language in the Constitution that would take rights away instead of protecting them. quote, in America, people should be in charge of their own medical decisions, said Senator Amanda Reagan, Democrat of Mason City. Senator Liz Mathis, Democrat of Hiawatha, conceded Democrats lacked the votes to stop GOP passage Wednesday, telling her colleagues, quote, it's a steamroller that's going to plow right through this crowd, end quote. With a look at weather, forecast storms possible today and this weekend from Courtney Brummer Clark with the Nonpareil. Thunderstorms are possible this afternoon and evening, the National Weather Service reported, and there's marginal risk for severe storms. The chances for storms will last through the weekend and into next week. Daytime temperatures will also begin to climb beginning today with highs in the mid-70s. Highs this weekend will reach low to mid-80s. The upcoming forecast, according to the Weather Service, includes today a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 a.m., cloudy with the high near 77, south wind 7 to 17 with gusts as high as 26, new rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, expect higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tonight, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 65. South-southeast wind, 11 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 22. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch. Expect higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Friday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 83. South wind, 10 to 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26. Friday night, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. and partly sunny with a high near 84. Saturday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 67. Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 84. Chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 2 a.m. Partly cloudy with a low around 67. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 84. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 62. Chance of showers on Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 82. So that brings us to our mid-break of today's reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil. All materials heard on IRIS are intended solely for the use of the blind and the print disabled. I am Lori Blatchford, reading for you today. And if you have any comments on this or any other IRIS program, please give us a call at 515-243-6833. And now we'll look at today's obituaries. In obituaries today, we have an article from Bellevue, Nebraska. I want to read to you first, and then we have two local obituary notices that I'll read for you. Vigil for Bellevue Children Who Were Found Dead Draws More Than 80 People by Nancy Garter of the Omaha World Herald, and it's a Dateline, Bellevue, Nebraska. Anguish and love intertwined as friends and strangers gathered in a Bellevue Park Tuesday night to comfort Mary Nielsen, the mother whose two children were found dead at their father's home over the weekend. Nielsen, who lives in Illinois, watched the vigil via cell phone video call. She talked individually with some of the 80 people in attendance. Nielsen's children, Emily Price, 5, and Theodore Price, 3, were found dead Sunday at 2716 Alberta Avenue in Bellevue, the home of their father, Adam L. Price. Nielsen had asked a friend to check on them after Bellevue police were unsuccessful in doing so. The parents were in the midst of divorce proceedings, and the father was under court order to provide daily contact between the mother and children during their visit to his home, Nielsen had said. Price, 34, was arrested Sunday night in California. He faces two felony charges of child abuse resulting in death. He is scheduled to appear Wednesday afternoon in a California courtroom for an extradition hearing. The hearing has been delayed twice. Late Tuesday night, Nielsen posted a video on Facebook thanking people for their support. In addition to the vigil, she has received an outpouring of condolences, a GoFundMe fundraiser has generated more than $38,000. Quote, I've received more support than I could ever imagine, she said as she thanked people for their donations and for coming out to the vigil. I love you guys all so much. For some at the vigil, which was held at Twin Ridge Park, the grief was overwhelming. One woman who had wanted to share memories of babysitting the children broke down as soon as she addressed the crowd. She could only sob to Nielsen, I'm so sorry, Mary. Many of those at the Tuesday night vigil were mothers and children or co-workers from the Nebraska Medical Center, where Nielsen previously worked as a certified nursing assistant in oncology. The vigil was organized by the La Vista mother of four, who had never met Nielsen, but said she wanted to do something, quote, mother to mother, end quote. I can't imagine how she feels, said Lynette Rode. I'd like her to know she has a lot of support. Her kids didn't deserve this, and the community is here for her. Hunter Kruska of Omaha was among Nielsen's former co-workers in attendance. Kruska's first thoughts of Nielsen were of how she worked to care for her kids after she left her husband. Quote, Mary worked overtime. She worked way more than she needed to as a CNA to support those kids so she could get a big enough apartment for them to live in, Kruska said. Those kids were everything to her. Kruska gestured to the crowd, which she said was an indication of how much Nielsen is loved. The children, she said, took after their mother. Fun and bubbly, magnetic. I can't imagine her losing those kids. Local obituaries, Dick L. Lasher, age 67, of Omaha, formerly of Council Bluffs, passed away May 14, 2021, at Montclair Nursing Home in Omaha. Dick was born February 22, 1954, in Logan, Iowa, to the late Laverne and Rosemary Arbaugh Lasher. He attended Abraham Lincoln High School. He was a jack of all trades. In addition to his parents, Dick was preceded in death by his sisters, Kay Magnet and Pat Waterman. Dick is survived by his children, Nicole, with Dan Lasher, Misty Lasher, Damian Lasher, Michael Lasher, four grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, siblings Penny with Dan Peterson, Linda Purcell, Larry Lasher, Jack with Laura Lasher, Danny with Pat Lasher, Denny Lasher, other relatives, and many friends. Celebration of Life service will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bayless Park Chapel. A lunch will follow at the Elks Lodge, 380 Mackenzie Avenue. Interment at a later date in East Liberty Cemetery, Liberdale, Iowa. The family will direct memorials. Kathleen Hewitt Frink, age 68, of Council Bluffs, passed away at the Hanson House on March 29th. Survived by sons Travis with Sheila Hewitt of Council Bluffs, Ben with Katie Hewitt of Lakewood, Colorado, and Brett Frink of Auburn, Washington. Siblings Jeanette Driscoll of Nashua, Iowa, Nancy with Dale Swanstrom of Beersford, South Dakota, Pam with Lee Hartfield of East Bethel, Minnesota, Martha with Dennis Rego of Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, and Ron with Nancy Fish of Nashua, Iowa, Julie Witten of Omaha, Nebraska, and Lisa House of Auburn, Washington. Celebration of Life will be held at 1 p.m. on Sunday, May 23rd, at the Les Hills Funeral Home in Glenwood, Iowa. The family will direct memorials. Two other passings of note on the obituary page today. Pioneering comic Paul Mooney dies at age 79. Paul Mooney, the boundary-pushing comedian who was Richard Pryor's longtime writing partner and whose bold, incisive musings on racism and American life made him a revered figure in stand-up, has died. He was 79. Cassandra Williams, Mooney's publicist, said he died Wednesday morning at his home in Oakland, California from a heart attack. Also, sprinter, 1968 Olympic activist Lee Evans has died at 74. This is Lagos, Nigeria. Dateline. Lee Evans, the record-setting sprinter who wore a black beret in a sign of protest at the 1968 Olympics, died Wednesday. He was 74. USA Track and Field confirmed Evans' death, and the San Jose Mercury News reported that Evans' family had started a fundraiser in hopes of bringing him back to the U.S. from Nigeria, where he coached track, to receive medical care after he suffered a stroke last week. We have a busy sports page today. So we'll start with soccer recap, Lewis Central Blanks Harlan. This is by Austin Heinen of the Nonpareil. Lewis Central 10, Harlan 0, Class 2A, number 2 ranked Lewis Central girls soccer team blew away the Cyclones thanks to a 7-goal second half, which ended the game in the 60th minute on Monday. Junior Hannah Dowdy scored 3 goals to give herself a hat trick. Sophomore Gracie Hayes scored 2 goals and also had 2 assists in the game. Her senior teammate Haley Bach led the team with 3 assists while also scoring a goal. Freshman Haley Erickson scored a goal and contributed an assist. Junior Natalie Smith also scored a goal while dishing an assist. Seniors Hannah Ekstrand, Estrada, and Taylor Gregory each had a goal to cap off the scoring. The Titans will face St. Albert with a 7-7 record for their final regular season game at 6 p.m. Friday at Titan Stadium. Sioux City North 4, Thomas Jefferson 3. Sioux City North outdueled the Yellow Jackets in an intense second half in Sioux City on Tuesday. After a scoreless first half, both teams found ways to achieve offensive success in the second half. For the Yellow Jackets, Hannah Belt, after scoring the first 64 minutes of in the scoring in the first 64 minutes of the contest, as a senior goalkeeper, came out of the net to score 2 goals. Junior Maggie Gunderson scored the other goal for TJ freshman Grace Strong, and junior Lexi Smith each had an assist for the game as well. Thomas Jefferson will host AHSTW with a 2-10 record at 5:30 p.m. today at Gale Wickersham Stadium. Abraham Lincoln 4, Sioux City East 3. The Abraham Lincoln Lynx remained undefeated in the Missouri River Conference by edging out Sioux City East in Sioux City on Tuesday. Freshman Liberty Bates scored a hat trick in the game to lead all scorers in the contest. Her senior teammate Christina Kesey scored the other goal for the Lynx. Sophomore Piper McGuire and freshman Lexi Mayo and freshman Allison Smith each contributed an assist. The win improves the Lynx to 7-0 in the MRC and ends a 2-game skid after falling to Ankeny Centennial 1-0 and West Des Moines Valley 2-0 on May 15th. Abraham Lincoln will head to Urbandale with a 7-6 record for their final regular season game of the year at 6 p.m. on Monday. Falcons fly past Panthers. 2 different Falcon players scored hat tricks in Class 1A Number 6, St. Albert's 10-0 win over Logan Magnolia on Tuesday in 73 minutes. Senior Gavin McIntosh and freshman Braden Shepherd each scored 3 goals for the Falcons to end the regular season with a win at Council Bluffs YMCA Fields. McIntosh also had an assist in the game, and Shepherd had 3 assists of his own. Furthermore, senior Sam Wilbur scored 2 goals and had 1 assist as well. Junior Gavin Tarbucks and senior Owen Donner each scored a goal, and senior Luke Hubbard contributed an assist to the Falcons' offensive success. St. Albert will now set their sights on sub-state tournament, where their first contest will be against Tri-Center, which has a 3-11 record, at 5 p.m. today. Black Raiders topped the Lynx in a shootout. The Abraham Lincoln Lynx lost another close battle, this time to Sioux City East in a shootout by the official final of 3-2 in Sioux City on Tuesday evening. The Lynx and Black Raiders each scored a goal in the first and second half and eventually took the contest into overtime, which also proved to not settle the score. Unfortunately for the Lynx, the shootouts, again, did not end as they had hoped. Goals for the Lynx through the whole goals for the Lynx were scored by senior Connor Vargas, who also had an assist, and senior Brandon Toledo, who had one goal in regulation and another in the shootouts. Senior Kiernan Day also netted one for the Lynx. Abraham Lincoln will not have to wait long for their chance for revenge. They will host the Black Raiders for their first sub-state game at 6:30 p.m. tonight. Prep soccer, this is, let's see, that was the roundup. We have a picture also of college soccer on the cover of the sports section with many smiling faces and index fingers in the air showing number one or thumbs up, showing good job. And the title says the team celebrates the region 11 championship after the game. And this, the title says Reaver soccer teams advance to districts. The photo is of the women's team holding up the trophy, all smiles. This is by Austin Hennen of the Nonpareil. The Iowa Western soccer programs are advancing on to district playoffs after each winning their respective Region 11 final games. The NJCAA Division 1, No. 5, Iowa Western women went against No. 11, Indian Hills Warriors for the third time this season, and the Reavers won the rubber match 1-0 to advance to their fifth straight district final game. After winning one and losing one to the Warriors in the regular season, Reaver coach Adam Sanchez said the Reavers came into the game confident, as their loss from just 2 weeks prior to this game was the blueprint of what the Warriors wanted to do. Quote, "Give credit to Indian Hills. They do a great job of scouting us and making changes as they attack us," Sanchez said. "I think one edge we had, if you want to call it an edge, because we lost once, we knew exactly how they wanted to attack us and defend us. In our preparation, we knew what their plan was going to be, and come game time, our girls executed the game plan perfectly," end quote. The only goal of the contest was scored by forward Ririka Kamamura in the 8th minute of the game. Kamamura's goal was assisted by midfielder Alexis Ashmore. After the Reavers took their lead, the Reaver defense did their thing and shut down the Warriors team that averaged 3 goals a game. "The team played pretty well and executed what we wanted to do defensively," Sanchez said. "Offensively, we got the goal that we needed, and that proved to be the difference." The win advances Iowa Western to the Great Lakes District Championship game, where they will meet NJCAA Division I No. 9 ranked Lewis and Clark College, which has a 7-1 record. While little is known about the Trailblazers, the Reavers look forward to doing their homework on this team and fight for a chance at a national tournament rebirth. Quote, "We are very excited to get back into the district championship," Sanchez said. "We've been here several years in a row now, but getting there and representing our conference is super important, as well as representing our school to another region. We are super excited to host it on our field, and we're looking forward to our matchup. They're a bit of a mystery to us. We haven't gotten a lot of information on them yet because we were so focused on the regional final here. We have some homework to do, which we'll do tomorrow, and come up with a game plan. It should be a battle, but a trip to the national tournament is on the line, and continuing to fight on with this group is what it's all about, so we're motivated to keep extending our game, extending our season. Game time against the Trailblazers will be 2 p.m. on Monday at the Reaver Sports Complex." Reaver men shut out Lakers for the third time. For the third time this season, and all within 24 days, NJCAA Division 1, No. 1, Iowa Western shut out division foe Iowa Lakes, which is ranked No. 8, this time by a score of 3-0. Quote, "It's always a tough ask to beat a team 3 times," head coach Mike Brown said. "The guys have really done a great job of executing the game plan that we put into place, and they've really brought it." Vlad Jokic scored an unassisted goal in the 25th minute to get the Reavers on the board and ahead 1-0, which would be the score that would carry over into the halftime break. Coming out of the break, Ivan Collado netted his 16th goal of the season just 2 minutes into the second half. Collado's goal was assisted by Joel Cashy. And finally, Giorgio Probo scored the game's last goal in the 61st minute. Before, during, and after, the main component to the win was the team's energy and defense, which shut down the Lakers again, which propelled the Reavers to the top 10 win. Quote, "The energy for us in this game was really high," Brown said. "Iowa Lakes was maybe a little bit tired, and that first goal, I think, was really created by a great press from us as a team, and Vlad had a really good finish. Second half, we made a really great opportunity off a throw-in. It was executed very well by the guys, and Joel was awesome. He really took the game in his hands and made a great run down the left side, crossed it to Ivan, who was pretty much automatic from where he shot. For the third goal, Giorgio, being the intelligent player he is, jumped to pass to score in the past two games. Only difference this time was he just pushed it upfield himself afterward and put it away," end quote. With the win, the top-ranked Reavers are moving on to the district semifinals, which will be played at 1 p.m. on Saturday against NJCCAA Division I, number 18, Jefferson College. Quote, "They're a very athletic team. They have a lot of size and will play physical," Brown said. "I think for us, we have to continue to focus on our preparation and performance. We don't really need to be stressed out about too much. We just got to keep doing what we're doing." In high school tennis, Abraham Lincoln girls come close in tennis regionals. The Abraham Lincoln Lynx had some good, solid performances in the regional individual tournament in Pleasant Hill on Wednesday afternoon. Senior Harper Sneed placed third overall in the singles tournament as she topped her senior teammate Maddie Anderson 6-1. Anderson placed fourth overall. The third and fourth place finishes mean just missing out on advancing from regionals, but head coach Brian Pragen is still incredibly proud of how these two did as well as the others. Quote, "I'm very proud of how all our girls competed," he said. "Maddie and Harper both had to win some difficult matches to get where they did. I think Maddie played the best I've ever seen her play in her quarterfinal match to get to the semis. Harper did a nice job of managing her matches as well. She was the number three seed, and she maintained her seed throughout the day," end quote. In the doubles bracket, junior Savannah Maisel and sophomore Gina Carl won their first match to advance to the doubles regional quarterfinal, but saw their road end there as they fell to Dowling Catholic's freshman Ava Peterson and junior Mackenzie Klein. The Lynx second doubles team with sophomore Ella Bose and sophomore Kylie Hansen fell in their first round regional match. None of Abraham Lincoln players will be going to the individual state, but the Lynx team still looks forward to Saturday's match at West Des Moines Valley. Quote, "We left today feeling like we won all the matches that we could and fought hard in the ones we thought we may be overmatched in," Pragen said. "The girls did a great job all day long. We had some success despite seeing a lot of different competition than what we're used to in this region. We still have a little more work to do this season, so we're going to get a couple more practices in through this busy week with graduation, but we're going to head to the court to play a few balls and work on a few things at practice and see what we can do Saturday. The Region 1 semifinal match against the Valley Tigers will begin at 9 a.m. on Saturday." This is also high school tennis. Olson takes third at regionals. Lewis Central girls tennis might not have qualified any individuals to the state tournament, but that didn't damper the mood for the Titans after the regional tournament. Head coach Aaron Rodenberg described the performance as the best tennis Lewis Central has played this season. Quote, "The girls performed. They played better than they have all year," he said. Laney Olson played better than she has all year. Oasis Opfam played better than she has all year. Our doubles teams really responded well. We ran into some really good tennis today. The Valley girls, both of them, were in the finals for singles. We haven't seen that level of tennis all year. Those girls are at a different level than what we've seen all year," end quote. The highlight of the day came from sophomore Lainey Olson, who finished third in the singles bracket. Olson earned a bye in the first round before earning a victory over Charity Bose of Des Moines East in the quarterfinals. She fell in the semifinals to Elaine Wong of Des Moines Valley, or West Des Moines Valley. Lewis Central sophomore Oasis Ofum also had a run in the semifinals. She also earned a bye in the first round. In the quarterfinals, she earned a win over Katie Collier of Hoover, Des Moines East. She lost in the semifinal to Claire Gu of Valley. Ofum and Olson played in the third place match, and Olson earned a 6-4, 6-1 victory. The Titans also had two doubles teams that had won one match before being bounced in the quarterfinals. Senior Katie Rodenberg and senior Maddie Parker were one doubles team, and the other consisted of senior Emily Burns and freshman Lexi Ofum. Quote, "The girls are excited about how they performed," Aaron Rodenberg said. "Nobody felt down about their performances. We're looking forward to Saturday. We think we can pull it out," end quote. Lewis Central will be in action next at 9 a.m. Saturday at the Johnston High School against Waukee in the second round of the Class 2A Region 2 tournament. If the Titans win, they will face the winner of Ankeny and Johnston in the semifinals at 1. Lewis Central is 8-2 in duels this year, and Waukee is 5-4. We're back to high school soccer with Jackets End Regular Season by Austin Heinen of the Nonpareil. It's been a busy past few days for the Thomas Jefferson boys soccer with games Monday and Tuesday. On Tuesday, the Yellow Jackets fell at Sioux City North 10-0 in what was the final regular season game of the year. Quote, "Overall, it was just about our energy," Yellow Jackets coach Carlos Silva said. "It wasn't the same as the night before, and tired legs, I'm sure, played a part, and a very good and organized Sioux City North team took advantage of our slow start and took it to us," end quote. The Yellow Jackets, on the day before, celebrated Senior Day, where they recognized the team's four senior players and were looking to send them out on a high note. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be, as Missouri Valley defeated the Thomas Jefferson team 3-0 on Monday evening at the Wickersham Stadium. The Big Reds scored two in the first half and one in the second to defeat the Yellow Jackets in their final home game of the season. "Sadly, we weren't able to send our seniors with the outcome that we wanted," Silva said. "We outshot them big. It just was just another one of those nights where it just didn't seem to bounce our way. But I told the kids I was very proud of them. They're playing the way we've been telling them how to play, and we are looking good. But we just couldn't get a shot put away." After these two games, the Jackets will have a day to prepare for their final round sub-state contest with Lewis Central on Thursday. Quote, "Lewis Central is a very good team. Obviously, we already played them, and in that first game, I thought we did very well defensively until we made some mistakes and shot ourselves in the foot. Thankfully, we play a couple of guys that weren't able to play the first time around, and hopefully that will help us capitalize on some opportunities." The Yellow Jackets and Titans will play at 6:30 p.m. today at Titan Stadium in Council Bluffs. Finally, on the second page of sports, we have a collection of photos. It's young women golfing, and the title is On the Greens, and also is a photo array by staff photographer Joe Shearer. And the caption says, "Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and Lewis Central all competed at Fox Run Golf Course on Tuesday. The triangular was scored using match play rules. Lewis Central scored 13, Abraham Lincoln scored 8, and Thomas Jefferson scored 1. 5 holes were tied." The caption reads, on the specific photos, reads, "Lewis Central's Caitlin Brandenburg and Taylor Elam watch as Abraham Lincoln's Allie Buell putts on the third green. Thomas Jefferson's Krisha Das drives on the fourth tee. Lewis Central's Taylor Elam drives on the fifth hole tee. And Lewis Central's Taylor Elam watches as teammate Caitlin Brandenburg chips onto the fourth green." And that's it for sports today. One thing I did want to circle back around and describe for you, the political cartoon on the opinion page. It has two donkeys at a gas pump which the gas pump carries the sign Bidenomics. They are pumping gas into a bag and putting the bags in the back of an SUV that on the bumper says economy. That's the political cartoon for today. And that brings us to the end of our reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for Thursday, May 20th. I have been proud to be your reader. Lori Blatchford is my name, and I want to thank you for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Have a great day.